All right, let's try to get started if we can. If you'll take your Bibles and open it to the book of Matthew tonight, Matthew chapter number 18. And of course, we're in the parables of Jesus. Last week, we finished the last of the kingdom parables, and we look at a brand new parable tonight and a great one. My wife said to me earlier today, we were talking about this particular lesson. She said, this will be very applicable to teenagers. And after studying it, I've come to the conclusion it's applicable to everybody. If you're a Christian, this is going to deal with you because it dealt with me in preparing for it. Matthew chapter number 18. Let's start reading in verse number 21, and we'll read down through verse number 35. The Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Now, anytime you have Peter involved, it's got to be interesting. Peter asks a question and then gives his own answer before he gives the Lord an opportunity to give an answer. How often shall I forgive? And then he says, till seven times. Pastor points out in the reading material that in that day, if someone did something against you once, you should forgive them. If they did something against you twice, it would take a lot of the grace of God, but you still should try to forgive them. If they did something against you three times, the mindset was, forget it, it's too late, you've crossed the line. So what Peter did was he took the most, that was three, doubled it, added one, and really felt good about himself. In other words, seven times. And the Lord teaches a parable now to instruct him that that's not it at all. It's not about counting how many times we're to forgive. We're to keep on forgiving. Jesus saith unto him, verse 22, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And he's not just saying 490 times either. Look at verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Sounds familiar, right? And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Quite a story. This particular parable, the title of it is The Unforgiving Servant. And the whole crux of this particular parable is a lesson on forgiveness. A pastor says in the reading material that most Christian people are stuck at the last thing they refuse to get over. They're mired down at the last person they refused to forget. It is at the very heart of living the Christian life. Now, you have to take the text and put it in its context. So go back to verse number 1. Look what the Bible says. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And in the context of that question, Jesus gives this particular parable. Here is the lesson for all of us. Greatness is related to forgiveness. In other words, if you want to be great, then be a forgiving person. If you want to be the kind of Christian that God saved you to be, then be willing to forgive others just as surely as God has forgiven you. Greatness is not so much how we respond to those over us as it is how we respond to those that are under us. It's not so much related to how we respond when we're treated well. It really is related more to how we respond when we're mistreated, or when we think at least that we've been mistreated. And that's the idea behind this particular servant and the fact that he was forgiven so much but was willing to forgive so little. If you'll mark a phrase in your Bible, take your pen and go to verse number 32 and underline three little words where the Bible says, I forgave thee. Imagine that that's the Lord speaking, because it is. This particular person in the story represents the Lord Jesus. He forgave us. What did he forgive us? He forgave us all of our debt. He actually forgave us for two reasons, and these are words that we need to define for our classes. The first word is the word relationship. He forgave us so we could have a personal relationship with Him. In other words, so we could be saved. So we could know that our sins were forgiven, we're on our way to heaven, we're a child of the King. That's why God forgave us. There's a great verse in this lesson, and if you'll take time to go back to it on Sunday, it's Isaiah chapter 38, verse number 17. That particular verse has been called the John 3:16 of the Old Testament because it is so powerful and the message is a message of salvation. Here's what it says. That for peace I had great bitterness, but thou, God, hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. In other words, God forgave me and chose to forget all of my sins, cast them behind his back so that I could have a personal relationship with him. When we forgive other people, we choose not to bring up their sin or their wrong again. Just like God chose to bury my sin in the depths of his sea of forgetfulness and never bring it up again. So he forgave me for relationship. The second word is the word fellowship. And this gets a little more intimate when it comes to our relationship with Christ as far as on a daily basis in the Christian life. Now turn over to 1 John for just one second. 1 John chapter number 1. And let's read a few verses here because this passage deals with our fellowship with God. Our relationship with God cannot be broken. God established it and God promised he wouldn't break it. In other words, I will always be a child of God because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. But my fellowship can be broken. If I allow sin into my life unconfessed, unforsaken, that breaks my walk with Christ, my fellowship with him. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You should circle the word fellowship in verse number 6. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have, here it is again, fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I had the joy just today to share 1 John 1:9 with a Christian person who was dealing with sin in their life. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go back to this verse for my own sake. And God says, if you'll just confess your sin, that literally means to say the same thing about your sin that God says about it. God looks at you and says, that's sin. Confession is looking back to God and saying, God, you're exactly right. That's a terrible, rotten sin against you. And the Bible says the minute we're willing to do that, God does two things. One, he deals with forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then he deals with fellowship and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, he gives us a fresh start. And if the Lord is willing to establish relationship and give us an opportunity every day to maintain fellowship, then as Christians, we ought to work at forgiving other people. That's the idea behind this lesson. Now, this lesson is a good illustration of what the Bible calls in the Old Testament, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, because it is really progressive truth. And there are five great truths as you walk through this story, and each one builds on the one previous to it. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, the first thing we see is that there was a debt that could not be paid. This particular servant didn't have the money to pay off his debt, and it was a very sizable one. Look what the Bible says in verse number 24 back in our text. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 24. When he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him, and you should mark this, 10,000 talents. Now, it doesn't say if they're talents of silver or gold, what it was, but let's imagine for just a moment that they were silver. If he owed him 10,000 talents of silver, he owed him $3,840,000,000. That's a sizable debt, wouldn't you say? It was a debt that could not be paid. Millions, billions perhaps, of dollars that he could not pay. We sing the little chorus, and we sang it years ago. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Well, the debt we're talking about here, of course, is our sin debt. I could never be saved on my own. I was a lost, hell-deserving sinner. If I get what I deserve, I go to hell forever. That is the debt I cannot pay. The second truth you see in this parable is that his debt was forgiven. This is the good news. And by the way, nobody appreciates the good news till first they hear the bad news. Until they understand they're a sinner and on the way to hell, they never appreciate the fact that God says, you can be forgiven. Now, the only way God could forgive my sin is that somebody had to pay for it, because God's still a just God. So God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid for my sin debt in full so that I could be forgiven. It's interesting, when Jesus Christ cried from the cross those three little words, "It is finished," literally the word that he spoke from the cross was the same word that a merchant in Jesus' day would use. If I was a merchant and you came in owing me a debt and paid it off in full, I'd take out a little stamp. It would have one word on it. I would stamp your bill, and that one word literally meant paid in full. It's the same word Jesus spoke when he cried, "It is finished." In other words, all the people standing around the cross, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," understood he was saying, "It is paid in full." What is paid in full? All of our sin debt. Past, present, future. Somebody said, "Well, what about my future sins?" All of your sins were future when Christ died. All of them were. So the sin debt was paid in full. That's the second thing. Number three, the unforgiveness of the forgiven. The third thing you see in this parable is the unforgiveness of the forgiven. The same man who had been forgiven was not willing to forgive someone else. Let's put it into perspective for just a moment. A few measly dollars. You'll read that phrase a couple of times in this reading material. Let me tell you approximately how much. If you take this pence and figure it out, it is approximately $3,200. Now think for just a second. He owes $3 billion, and it's forgiven, wiped off the map. He turns around to a fellow who owes him and says, "You owe me $3,000. And the man says the same thing he said a moment ago, "Have patience on me, I'll pay thee all." And he says, "No, I'm going to put you in prison until you can pay. I'm going to make you go to jail." He was forgiven $3 billion, but would not forgive $3,000. Sound familiar? We've been forgiven all of our sins. And by the way, all of our sin is against God. David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." God's forgiven all of my sin. And yet there are days that I refuse to forgive some measly little something that really doesn't amount to anything. In other words, I want to carry it around with me. I want to sulk and pout and expect, you know, retribution and that I can get justice for this and all that kind of thing. That is unforgiveness in the heart of a forgiven person. Pastor says something in this lesson that really spoke to me. It really pierced my own heart. This is a parable that is one of the simplest to understand, but one of the hardest to practice. Of all the parables we study, this is one that just, it makes sense. I mean, you just read through the story and you see yourself and you see the circumstance and understand it. But it is one of the most difficult ones to put into practice in your own Christian life. We must forgive. The fourth thing that you see in this particular parable is that unforgiveness affects many others. All the times I've ever read this story, I never noticed this. Look, please, at verse number 31. "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done." Originally, all you had was a Lord, a servant, and another servant. Now, you have all the other servants involved in it too. Now it's a big mess. You know, originally, it was just between a couple people. Now everybody's involved. And this is a picture, of course, of the local church and what unforgiveness harbored in the heart of a person can do. The story shifts. Now it deals not just with our relationship or fellowship between us and God, but our relationship and fellowship between us and other Christian people. Go back in the chapter to verse number 17 and circle two words. Jesus speaking, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto," what's the next two words? "The church." If you circle those two words and draw a line down to this parable, it'll help you put it in perspective. Jesus says, in light of the teaching on the church, you be a forgiving person. In other words, one of Satan's greatest tools is to drive some wedge between Christian people that keeps them from having fellowship with each other, and because of that, keeps them from having fellowship with God. When I refuse to forgive, I can't pray and get my prayers answered. There is no joy to the Christian life. In fact, it does more damage to me perhaps than anyone, because it's eating away at me all the time on the inside. The model prayer that the Lord gave his disciples, "Forgive us our debts as we" what? "Forgive our debtors. Forgive those who trespass against us." But if I refuse to forgive, how can I expect to get my prayers answered? And it does the same thing in a church, in a family, anything. One of the strongest paragraphs in the reading material of this lesson says this: do you want to tear your wonderful church apart? And obviously the answer is no. Nobody wants to do that. No sincere Christian wants to do that. And the answer is, if you harbor unforgiveness, that's exactly what you'll do. The pastor talks about going places to preach even, into churches throughout the years of ministry that he's experienced, and being places where there were people on this side of the church that wouldn't speak to people on this side of the church. They wouldn't forgive. God can't bless that. And that's this particular principle. Unforgiveness affects many others. Then there's a fifth truth, and that is this. Unforgiveness is wicked. It's not just a little bad. It is wicked. Strong language used here. The Lord calls the servant back in and says, I heard what you did. It is wicked. You're a wicked servant. I don't want to be a wicked servant. If you don't want to be a wicked servant, be a forgiving servant. Be the kind of person that always reminds yourself that God's forgiven you so much, you can't hold things against people. Be a forgiving person. And the Lord took the servant. What did he do? At the end of the story, he delivers him to the tormentors. And the point is this, there are thousands and thousands of Christians all over the country in good churches who are living in torment all the time because they will not forgive. There is present torment. They can't get their prayers answered. They have no joy. They have no fellowship. And there is future torment. Someday they may go to a graveside and wish they had made something right, but now it's too late. Or they arrive at the judgment seat of Christ and lose rewards because they refused to forgive. One of the greatest statements about this lesson is this statement, forgiven people should be quick to forgive others. Oh, how soon we forget. If I refuse to forgive you, one of two things is wrong. Either I've forgotten that God forgave me, or I'm so far away from God in my fellowship that His forgiveness means so little to me. One of those two things is wrong. And the great lesson here is if I'll draw nigh to Christ, be close to the Lord, be in love with Jesus, remember Calvary, then I will be forced in my own spirit to want to forgive other people. One of the great passages, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for just a moment. And this is where the lesson concludes. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. The Bible says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Unforgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Look at verse 32. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Here it is. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In other words, when you're tempted not to forgive someone else, remember Calvary. One of the last statements in this lesson that Pastor gives us is this statement, three words, and it stirred my heart. Calvary captures us. You think about the cross and what Jesus Christ did for you, and it'll help you be a forgiving person. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this parable, how it speaks to me. And I pray you'll help us to be more of the Christians you saved us to be by remembering what a glorious thing it is to be forgiven, and then in turn being willing to forgive other people. And bless this meeting for Jesus' sake. Amen.